for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 1994 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is ministering, teaching on Walking in Victory.
Well, the Lord is good. Amen. And he works, what is it, his ways wondrous to do or something like that. Anyway, and it's been wonderful here during all the camp meeting. Every camp meeting seems to be just glorious. I can't take one and say that because every time when the camp meeting's over, everybody comes and says, that's the best one. Well, it's the best one for us now. Amen. And the best is yet to be had. We're going to hear from Linda this morning and Dr. Null again this afternoon and Tommy and Robert this evening. And we're just blessed, blessed, blessed. Linda, come and let the anointing of the Lord move over you this morning. Father, we pray your anointing and your blessing over Linda today, Lord. The word of the Lord shall come forth with unction and with authority. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be together again. It's good to be at Lake Hamilton. You can take your Bible this morning and you can open to the book of Hebrews. There's probably a number of things I'd like to share with us, Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about our maintaining our deliverance. If God's done some things for you this weekend, things He's going to do, God doesn't expect you to go home and to get back in the same old situation again. He wants you to walk in deliverance. Now, I am so thankful for the things that have happened to me personally in the last year or so. God's been teaching me some things, some good things. And one of the things that I've really been learning about, and I've said it here many times, but it's becoming a wonderful reality to me, is the words of Zechariah 4:6, that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. By His Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And especially in this area of ministering deliverance. Now, some of us, because we come from different cultural backgrounds, and some are from the south and some are from the north, you know, we northerners generally tend to be a little more quiet than some of you southerners, right? I told a preacher from Mississippi a while back who's used to, you know, people shouting amen, and when he preached, I says, well, up north it's a little different. I says, you know, if people are agreeing with you when you look at their eyes, and if their eyes dilate, that means amen. We tend to be a little more quiet up north. But you see, when God is moving upon us, doesn't matter if you're quiet or if you're noisy. In fact, sometimes I think we can get a little misled by how noisy things are, because you see, the authority of God has nothing to do with noise. A lot of times we can use a whole lot of emotion and be physically spent at the end of a day or at the end of a session or at the end of ministry. It's the authority of God, and it's our relationship, our union with Jesus Christ, that gives us authority over devils. Jesus in Matthew 28, just before He ascended to the Father, what did He say? He said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth. He says, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. And in the last year in particular, I've really been learning a great deal more about this verse and about our union in Christ Jesus. Our union with Him. I really was blessed by what Sister Mildred was saying this morning, because it just bore witness with what God has been speaking in my heart. We have a union in Him. We are created in Him. And the Scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Much of our singing has been with this idea that And I don't want to just totally throw this idea out that it's me and Jesus. We have a good thing going. You know, it's Jesus and me walking on the Jericho Road. You know, He is with us in that sense. But it's better than that. It's better than that. It's Jesus in me on the Jericho Road. It's Jesus in me has a good thing going. Jesus in me has it all worked out. Amen. And when we begin to get the reality of that begins to grip us, we begin to realize, I think, anew and afresh, what we have in Him, and that there is no demon that is greater than what we are in Christ Jesus. I tell you, He's a bluff. I mean, He bluffs us. He looms up bigger than life itself, trying to convince us that there is absolutely no hope. When it's Jesus in me. A few weeks ago, I was preaching at my home church, teaching, whatever you want to call it, my home church up in Wisconsin, and I got a burst of inspiration as I was ministering. And I said, there's more in your little finger in Christ Jesus than every demon that would come against you. I mean, let's get a perspective on this thing. Okay? Really, if you are in Christ Jesus, there's more in this little finger. That very life of the Lord Jesus Christ is pulsating in this little finger than the demons of hell that would try to prevail against you. Or the demons, wherever they are, that they would try to prevail against you. Amen. And these are one of the things that I have been learning. Now there's another thing I've been learning. And maybe we'll go on with this a little bit this morning. But first of all, you know, a demon is never satisfied. Never satisfied. And I've been aware this weekend that there's many who have come here who are involved in ministry, some of you full-time, some of you part-time. And I've realized in this last year, see, I've experienced some physical problems, and I've been home a lot more. And I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, if I'm going to stay home, then You bring the people to my house. Well, that's what's been happening. People have been coming to the house. See, if you've got something from God, you know, they'll be to pass to your door. You don't have to put a shingle out or anything like that. You don't have to advertise. You don't have to put an ad in the newspaper. The word gets out in the spirit realm that there is deliverance for souls that are crying out. But I prayed and I says, well, Lord, bring them to my house. And if You're not done with me yet, which He isn't, and if the ministry's changing a little bit. And I found something out, and it's this. And those of you that are in ministry, I want you to hear me this morning, okay? We spend an awful lot of our time ministering to demons. Amen. Instead of to the people. Amen. We will run ourselves ragged for demons. Amen? Uh-huh. Now, I'd like to give all kinds of examples, and you know, I don't want to say anything about an individual, because we're not dealing with individuals here. We're talking about spirits. And there are people that are absolutely beautiful people, but they got spirits hanging on to them that are affecting them, affecting their ministry. And some months ago, I went up to a place to speak at a women's conference. And there was a lady there who I've known for quite a few years. And I realized she's been rejected by other ministries and other people. And I've tried to extend myself to her to let her know that I recognize the ministry in her. And the more that I've extended myself, the more that spirit in her has required. You understand what I'm saying? The more that's required, it's not enough for me to say, well, you know, I recognize this ministry, but it's demanding more and more of my time, more and more of my affection. This individual came to my home with her husband, and instead of saying, well, I've got one day or a day and a half, they demand 3 days. And you give them 3 days, and they demand even more, and by the time it's all over with, You're wrung out. You're wore out when you've been ministering to a spirit and not to the individual. And I believe for all of us who are in ministry here, we need to hear this and be reminded of this morning. Because, you know, we want to give ourselves. I mean, that's why we're in the ministry. To give ourselves to the ministry and to people that are hurting. But too often, we've been giving ourselves to the Spirit, not casting the demon out, but just keep ministering to it and ministering it, till finally there's hardly anything left for us to give to anybody else. It just requires more. That spirit requires more. And if you are here this morning and you have many spirits that have been troubling you and affecting your life, I want you to know that the best thing you can do is to cast it out, because it will never be satisfied. It never will be. Truth and taking hold of that truth is going to set us free. I used to wonder sometimes why certain ministries would seem to be a little bit harsh. Maybe you've wondered that. And I don't think it's always because they have wanted to be harsh, but because such a demand is made on an individual, and you become that way just to preserve your own strength. So it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. It's not in how loud you're going to shout. It's not in how loud you're going to pray deliverance. It's not even in how loud you preach. Your authority is in your union with Christ Jesus. That's the first thing I've been learning. This second thing has been about rejection. And I discovered this past summer, as different people came by the house, that there was times I was so weak that I had to go to bed. And some of these people just followed me right to my bedroom. And because they were in need. And I remember on one occasion, I propped myself up on one arm and I prayed deliverance for some people. And I thought, there is no way that anything has happened. I don't sense any anointing. Whatever. Husband and wife and a child came and so insistent upon getting some deliverance. Well, God taught me through that it's His power. It's His might. They went out of that house set free, went back to their state, began praying for their children, began praying for their pastor, began praying for cousins and brothers and sisters, and the thing began to snowball, and people began to get set free, and I thought nothing was happening because I didn't feel it. Some of you have had that experience. Another time over in Switzerland, while I was over there, went to a hospital to pray for a lady who was dying, was within hours of death. I took somebody with me to go to pray for. They had called her husband from another country, a Malaysian lady. Malaysian people are Chinese. She was sitting there in intensive care within hours of death. And she, in fact, the Pentecostal church had been praying for her, and the administration finally kicked them out because they had prayed so loud it set off all the alarms in intensive care. And so I had promised that if I came to pray for her, that I would not speak loudly. I told the administration that we would pray a quiet prayer. Went in there, had to speak to her through an interpreter, began to minister through an interpreter, began to break family curses on her. I want to tell you, I've got this lady's medical record at home. Began to break family curses and witchcraft that was coming against her. It was translated back and forth. The oppression was so heavy that I thought I was going to faint. My prayer partner that was with me was fainting, and I was pulling her up by one arm, and we spent no more than 5 minutes breaking curses and casting the spirits out of that woman who was within hours of death. Her liver had burst, her kidneys had shut down, nothing was functioning in her body. She was still breathing, she was still conscious. And you want to know what God did? And we did not feel one thing. You know what God did? He healed her instantly. Instantly. We walked out of there, went out on the sidewalk, laid hands on ourselves and commanded the spirits to leave us. While inside, she was instantly healed. The doctors kept her in there for an additional week. They said, we've never seen anything like this. They wanted to study her a little while. She's back in Malaysia, living in Malaysia with her children and with her husband, serving God. We felt nothing. All right, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. So this has been a wonderful year for me, absolutely wonderful. Had a wonderful time in the Lord. Now, one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning, more in depth, is the spirit of rejection. There have been things that have been said here by the other ministries about rejection. And I want to give you a promise this morning that if you haven't been rejected, and I know all of us have in one way or another, you're going to be rejected. And there's a reason for that, many reasons for it. First of all, we follow after our pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says about Him in Isaiah that He was despised and He was rejected of men. We, if we're going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, not arm in arm with Him, but walking in Him, you are going to be rejected. Every time you embrace truth, you are going to be rejected. Every level of truth brings with it a corresponding level of rejection. You can count on it. But I'll tell you what, we can rejoice in this. We can rejoice in it. I don't think it's something for us to get all bent out of shape about. We can rejoice in it because when we get rejected because of truth, we know that we're on the right track. Hallelujah. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, we always read verse 12. We don't always read verse 11. Let's just flip over there for a second. Thought of it this morning. It says we read this one that says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. This is an ongoing thing. But let's see what verse 11 says. It says regarding Jesus, He came to His own. And His own received Him not. And then it says, yet to all those that did receive Him, we receive power to become sons of God. Now, as we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, I want to talk about, there are a number of steps here about maintaining our deliverance, but I want us to think about this in terms of the fact that you don't have to live under any kind of cloud of rejection as you minister or as you walk in the Lord. I'm going to try to change this preposition here. You know, not walk with the Lord as we walk in the Lord. Okay? I think we all need to get this in our mind. Change a preposition a little bit. It has an entirely better meaning. We're walking in God, walking in Jesus Christ. Now, I've noticed because of my own life that one of the hazards that I've had as a single person, probably the biggest hazard, and it can be the biggest hazard, I think, for people who are in ministry, just as you're a Christian, the hazard is, I call it an occupational hazard. The hazard is that as a single person or sometimes as ministry, you don't have anybody to talk to. You don't have anybody to bounce ideas off the wall with, you know. So you lose your sense of perspective, right? You lose your sense of perspective. Everything seems bigger than it might be. Things seem larger than they are. And if you have been rejected by, and you probably have been, it just affects you a great more than it should. You talk to your wife or your husband about it, and they agree. I mean, they've seen, they're experiencing the same thing, and so there the two of you are, or you know, two or your coworker or whatever. You stand there and you feel that absolutely nobody loves you. Nobody cares. Because you just really don't have anybody to talk things over with. And say, oh, it's not that big a deal. Forget it. Keep your perspective. You know, we all have stories we could tell about that. So I'm not going to go into all of them this morning. But you see, as we start in Hebrews chapter 12, the first thing that I want to mention that we have to do in getting deliverance and maintaining deliverance, I feel like verse 1, I think it was Tommy last night was talking about clouds, and clouds represent people. And the clouds that they're talking about here in chapter 12, verse 1, is this cloud of people that is written about in chapter 11. These men and women of faith and the things that they did. In fact, they don't go into any detail, but if you will examine each one of these individuals' lives that are mentioned, you will see that each one of them has been rejected. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, because we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. And you know what I believe that is speaking about? Let's cast it aside. Let's get rid of it. Let's get some deliverance in our life. Cast aside all of those weights and the sins that easily beset you. That's the only way we're ever going to really know true victory is if we experience our own personal deliverance. Now you say, well, you're standing up there. You don't. Maybe some of you don't know me. And I can talk so authoritative about such a thing. Well, I want to tell you, I haven't always felt that way. I haven't always been this way. I'll tell you what, I rejected deliverance for 20 years. I'm standing here because of the mercies of God that have been extended to me. 20 years, it was first presented to me in 1966. And periodically from that time on, and I would have some reason to explain it away and not to embrace it. And yet at the same time, God had promised me through a prophetic word in 1966 that I would have a deliverance ministry. And yet in 1966, I was rejecting deliverance. Now, does that make sense? It's the mercies of God that I'm standing here today. And those of you that are in ministry, I want to tell you that you need deliverance. I came down here to Lake Hamilton. I was in full-time ministry, recognized as a ordained minister, and I was in pathetic shape. I didn't think I was, but I was. In fact, I know Bill had an ulterior motive when he said, "You better come down to Lake Hamilton again." Others can see what pathetic shape I was in. And so in a real religious spirit, one day I said, "You know, I think God's speaking to me to go down there." I say down because I live up north in Wisconsin. And things have never been the same since, praise the Lord. Never been the same. I've got not only wonderful friends, but I've experienced wonderful deliverance in my life. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise. So we throw off the weights that hinder. I want to tell you, I had weights that was hindering my ministry. I had weights that kept me from seeing in the Spirit the things that God had prepared for me personally, but the things that God wanted to do through me and in my life. It wasn't till I began to get deliverance that I could begin to see. Now, some of you may wonder also, which I did, why you come down here and finally you say, "Well, sure, I believe in deliverance," and wonder why you don't get it all at one time. And I wondered that. Well, you know, why don't I get, I sit here in the meetings. How come I'm not burping? How come I'm not coughing? How come I'm not laying on the floor screaming and all of this like the others? But I've had my sessions, haven't I, Glenn? He knows. I've had my sessions, but I learned one thing, that it doesn't come all at one time. You see, God, it says in the scripture about Israel that when they came into the promised land, that those enemies didn't leave all at one time. Because otherwise they would have overcome the people. They had to learn to be overcomers. And we're going to see as we go on here in Hebrews 12 that there's this area that we have to overcome. We can cast off all the weights. We can be delivered from all these weights, but there's more that has to be done after those weights are cast off. Amen. And what are they? Well, let's look on. First of all, after these weights are cast off, there's going to be about 7 or 8 steps here, and I'm going to try to hit them all, and won't talk on each one a long time. Write them down if you like. The first step is deliverance. Now, this book was written to people that were already believers. Okay? Now, of course, we know the first step is the most basic one of all. We come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior and our Lord. We receive Him as Savior. He forgives us our sins. We come to Him and receive the forgiveness of sins. Then as we continue to walk with Him, it is a walk of deliverance. And I also realize that now that this walk in deliverance is a continuing walk. In fact, I don't believe we can ever get to the place where we feel like, well, now I can sit back and relax a little bit. Because the Apostle Paul, he encouraged us and said in his writings that we're to put on the full armor of God. Amen? Put on the full armor. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. These things are written to people that already know Jesus Christ. And we're not to be ignorant of His devices. You and I, we've seen it. You've seen it happen. You've been in churches. Maybe it's been in a church where you've happened. Somebody's walked with God for years and years, 30, 40 years, maybe even longer, and you see them fall into sin. You see, what's happened is they've been ignorant of the devil's devices. Been ignorant. Got to that place where, well, it's not going to happen to me. Been ignorant. So we have to keep on guard. Okay, what is the next step here? We cast off everything that hinders, every demon that is plaguing your footsteps. And what is the next step? We, in verse 2, we fix our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Looking unto Jesus.
Yes.
He is the author. And what does it say? He's the finisher. Says in the New International, He's the perfecter of our faith. Keep our eyes upon Him. I tell you what, you put your eyes upon flesh and you're going to be disappointed. You put your eyes upon Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. Amen. All of us, if I'd ask you to raise your hands, all of us have been disappointed by the flesh. Because we have had unrealistic expectations. Of flesh. See, flesh can't even submit to the law of God, the Scripture tells us. And you know, we've seen ministries, and because there's a number of us, I don't even know all of you, but I've been so mindful, there's been so many here that are part of the ministry, and all of us are part of ministry. You know, I don't want to, you know, really divide people, but some are in full-time ministry. But there have been... Now I forgot what I was going to say. Maybe it'll come back to me. Well, we'll just go on. We keep our eyes upon Jesus. He's the perfecter and the author of our faith. And it says, because of the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. Now I want to talk about that for a minute. Because of the joy set before Him, endured the cross. A lot of times, because we haven't kept our perspective, we haven't kept our eyes on Jesus, we haven't kept our confession, the Word of God, we get our eyes upon the problems and they loom as big as they do and things happen to us and we wonder why they happen. Now I want to give you one good example in the Scripture, and that is the Old Testament patriarch Jacob. And I want to give credit where credit is due here this morning. I was talking to Earlene Moody on the phone not long before I came to camp meeting, and she had been in the hospital, and she said God spoke to her about Jacob. And as she just shared a couple of sentences with me, I says, Earlene, I says, that can preach. I says, I'm going to share that. And I says, I hope I have your permission. And she just laughed. And I'll tell you, if anybody has been experiencing this, it's been her and her husband. Because I'll talk about that in a minute. But Jacob, first of all, I feel that Jacob was the unfortunate recipient of the curses of his forefathers. There was Abraham, and there was Isaac, and then there was Jacob. Jacob suffered some things. Abraham had a problem at times telling the truth, right? Isaac, at times, had a problem telling the truth. And here comes Jacob with this natural ability to be a liar. And so we see that he suffered because of the sins of his father. But God brought Jacob through some things as he walked on and the faith, walked on in the faith that he had in God. And I believe in his life, God did, I mean, it's obvious, we can look at the scripture, God did some wonderful things in his life. But you know, when Joseph was sold into bondage and Jacob thought he was dead, for years, Jacob lived in that heaviness of heart, thinking that Joseph was dead. Had no idea what was going on over in Egypt. Had no idea what the purposes of God, how they were going to be fulfilled in Jacob and also through Joseph. Right? If he had only had eyes to see beyond the natural realm and see in the spirit, he would have been rejoicing all those years that he thought Jacob was dead. I've always appreciated the story about Jack Harris when his parents got word that he was missing in action, killed in action, and his grandmother said, if he's killed in action, then God's a liar.
Amen.
Wasn't it something like that? And he was wounded in a bombed out basement somewhere over there in Europe. His grandmother, knowing that God, the promises of God are yea and amen. And I want to say that to you this morning. If some things have not come about in your life that have been prophesied to you or have been promised to you, however it has come about, God is not a liar. He's not a liar. He will bring them about in your life as you walk on with Him. And if Jacob had known what was down the road, he would have been dancing instead of spending all of those years in mourning. And I look at, some of you know Gene and Earlene and some of you don't. You saw Glenn hold up the deliverance manual last night, and I thought, my goodness, you know, that deliverance manual came about, I mean, through great tribulation and tears. And they even got the baptism of the Holy Spirit because their son was killed in an accident. And because of that accident, they pressed in to know more of God. And as a result of knowing more about God, they got deliverance. And as a result of their getting deliverance, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of people have received deliverance through the tapes that have gone out from here, through the manuals that have gone out, through their ministry here. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps. You know, Glenn, I was thinking the other day, I was somewhere up north, and I heard somebody talking. And they were talking about you. And it was somebody I don't think that knew you. And I'm just listening in on this conversation. And they're talking about you and Irma and how you have been forerunners of the deliverance ministry. And there have been books. I feel like some of these books back here are a direct result of people listening to tapes from here. And people have come here and gotten deliverance and have gone out. And you haven't probably always had the eyes to see that all over the world there are deliverance workers today because you were obedient to the heavenly vision. And I want to encourage you in that, Glenn. And when these people were talking, I just sat back and beamed. I just, you know, I know those folks. We, for the joy that is set before us, we endure the cross. There is good things that God is bringing in your life. And because of the crucifixion that you have gone through, it's hard for you to see the joy that is yet before you. We put our eyes upon Jesus and we consider Him. We don't just keep our eyes on Him. The Scripture says here, verse 3, this is another step, we consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men. He was rejected. And he says, if we keep our eyes upon Him, and if we consider Him, why do we do this? It says here at the end of verse 3, so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. Do you hear that? We put our eyes upon Him and consider Him so that we don't get weary and so we don't lose heart. Amen. Now, here's the next step. Verse 7. Next thing we do is we endure hardship as discipline. Every last one of us need discipline. Some more than others. Why do I say that? Those of you that are parents know that you don't necessarily discipline each one of your children the same way. Some don't need as much discipline as another. In fact, if you discipline one much more than the other, the first one or whichever one it is will tell you, hey, I didn't get treated like that. You didn't let me get by with that. You know, right? Some need more discipline than others. Some of us in our Christian walk have needed more discipline than others. I remember I was feeling sorry for a certain minister one day, someone from up north, and I was telling this to another pastor. And I says, it really troubles me how much that man has suffered. And he says, you know, he said, we just have to submit to that work of the cross in our lives. And some, I've come to realize it's more than others, are disciplined more. Some have had more rebellion than others. Some had more stubbornness than others. And God has His way of dealing with each one of us. And it's really, I believe, necessary that we have discernment so that we know when to keep our hands off somebody and let the Lord do that perfect work in them. So we endure hardness and hardship as discipline because it says God is treating us as sons. If you've never experienced any discipline, then I think you need to be very concerned about your sonship.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for discipline. Praise the Lord for hardship. Then we see another step here. We go down to verse 12. And the writer says, strengthen your feeble knees, or your feeble arms and your weak knees. How many of you have ever felt like you had weak knees? Right. Right. And he says, make level paths for your feet. Now that tells me that we have to do something here. You know, we're just not totally passive in this situation. I remember at a time when I was pastoring, one of the brothers in my church, he says, you know, we can't do anything. God's got to do it all. And I says, absolutely, He's got to do it all. I says, but He's going to use you to do it. And we can get this idea, it gets to be a spirit of passivity. You know, that we're not going to do anything. You know, God promised Israel all the things that He would do for them. He was going to rebuild the waste places. Well, who did He use to rebuild the waste places? But the people themselves. He didn't just go in there and speak a word like He did at creation and bang, it was there. He used the people to restore and to rebuild the waste places. Just like He's going to use you to rebuild the waste places. Even the waste places in your own life. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. How do we do that? How do we make level paths for our feet? Well, the Scripture says that His Word is a light to our path. We take that Word of God and we use that Word, that living Word, to strengthen ourselves. The confession of our lips. Let the confession of your lips strengthen. Strengthen your feeble knees, or feeble arms and your weak knees. And making level paths for your feet. Why? For this reason, so that the lame may not be disabled. Do this for yourself, for other people, so that the lame won't be disabled, but rather will be healed. And then we see another verse here, another admonition. I believe somebody mentioned this verse yesterday, that as much as possible, we make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And in verse 15, there's another admonition to us. Remember, these are all steps in maintaining our deliverance and walking in victory. And he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grow up to cause trouble. You know, I have seen in so many situations and circumstances where one little word has caused a church split.
Amen.
Has split a fellowship right down the middle. When I was in college, I went to a small church. In fact, when we had a crowd, we had the biggest crowd I think we ever had. When I went there, was 35. It's a bigger church today, but at that time it was a small church, and on any given Sunday you might find maybe 24. And the pastor said one day regarding an individual in the church, he said so-and-so had a bad spirit. Simple enough statement, it was true. This person had a bad spirit. But that person turned that thing around and said, the pastor said that I'm a devil. And I said, the pastor said that? He came to me and he said, I said, the pastor said that? That didn't sound like something. I mean, he should have said he had a devil. But he said, pastor said that I'm a devil. And I says, well, what do you mean? He said, you're a devil. And he says, well, he said I had a bad spirit. A bad spirit's an evil spirit, and an evil spirit's a devil. He said that I am a devil, the devil. And as a result, I mean, there was many contributing factors, but that was the catalyst that caused this church to split wide open, and more left than stayed. They went off to another part of town, started another church, and ultimately every man that left with his family backslid. And I learned very early in my Christian life that anything that is begun in a bad spirit will never prosper. Never. It will never prosper. I'll say it again. It will never prosper. You know, if God is leading you to do something, you make sure your spirit is right. It will never prosper if you're mad at somebody, so you're going to go off here and do your own thing. It will never prosper. You know, some years ago, I was part of a fellowship up in Minnesota, and some things had been said about me that were not true. And you know, that's hard to bear, isn't it? When somebody says something about you and it's not true. And somebody I had worked for said something about me and it wasn't true. And as a result of what they said, these people just rejected me. People that I had been associated with on Sunday. And I could feel this. You know, you can feel it when people begin to withdraw their spirit from you. And oh man, did I want to defend myself. It killed me. You know, not literally, but not to defend myself. I want to say this isn't true. In fact, I tried once and it was just, might as well kept my mouth shut. It just made the situation worse. And I went to pray and I was crying. I was 24 years old at the time. And I went to the Lord and I just cried and I says, Lord, they're saying all these things that are not true. They're saying terrible things about me. And the Lord told me to keep my mouth shut. 24 years old. He said, the day will come when they are going to turn and they are going to receive you and they will listen to the word of the Lord from your mouth. Every one of them. Well, I want to tell you, 20 years later, you know, you could let something like that stop you from your ministry. You really could, if, you know. And 20 years later, I'm up in some meetings in Upper Michigan, and I get a phone call from someone in Minnesota saying, would you come over? We've been hearing about what God is doing through you. We want to have a meeting, and we want to invite all the old crowd, even the pastor. Going to invite all of them. We're going to have pot blessing, and afterwards, we want you to minister to us. You know, kind of reminded me, you know, I mean, forgive me for such a comparison, but when Joseph had said to his brothers, you're all going to bow down and worship me, you know. Or bow down, you know, bow down and worship. And because at 24, that was a pretty heady thought that these people are going to listen to you and hear the word of the Lord. So they had it all planned, and I went there that night, and of course I'd never forgotten this thing that God had spoken to me 20 years later. Well, when you're 24, 20 years is practically a lifetime. If God had told me it was going to be 20 years, I would have lost heart. 20 years later, I didn't have to do anything except believe God for that promise to be fulfilled. You know, every time I go through that area now, they say, just let us know, give us a call, we'll have a meeting. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mercies of God, the grace of God is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. You know what? I never did defend myself. I never did tell them the true story. There was no reason to.
Amen.
In fact, the other side that had started these rumors, it's apparent today what spirit they were of. Their lifestyle has shown what spirit they were of. And I wanted to encourage you this morning too, forget about it. Those things mean nothing as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. You don't have to justify yourself. You don't have to do anything as you walk in Christ Jesus. He is your defense. And it may not come in 6 months. It may not come in a year. And it may never come. Maybe some of those people even still believe it. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Amen.
And they just say it's wonderful what God's done in your life. It doesn't matter. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and let a bitter root grow up to cause trouble and to defile many. Then there is another step in our walk and in maintaining our deliverance, and it is see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. You know, lordship, recognizing and walking in God and confessing his lordship, I tell you what that is when we really do that. It's we're not refusing him who speaks. He's our Lord. We do what he tells us to do. We don't refuse him. Amen? And you could be a Christian and refuse God. Refuse to do what he tells you to do. You know, I remember leaving camp meeting here. Probably it was about 1987. In fact, it was that time when Bill says, I think you need to come to camp. And I left and I was driving up north and I'm driving in the car now. This is after more than 20 years of refusing deliverance. And acknowledging that maybe there's a place for it for other people. But as I was driving in the car somewhere up in northern Arkansas, I kind of said, Lord, I did say this. Lord, I don't want to kick against the pricks any longer. And I don't want to go just on somebody else's testimony, but you've got to show me if this is a legitimate and true ministry. You know, God just waits for a prayer like that. He had a way that just 2 days later, the reality of deliverance was right in front of my eyes, and I knew that I could not any longer call him Lord and refuse him who speaks concerning things that God had planned for the future. And then there's one more step here. Verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. You know, this is a marvelous place that God is bringing us into. It's better than anything that you could ever find in the earth realm. You know, we have a longing in our heart for things that we can hold on to. But this realm of the kingdom of God that we are praying, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for it to be established on earth, will satisfy absolutely every single desire in your heart. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Walking into that kingdom will satisfy everything. It will. There's nothing that can replace it. Nothing that can replace it. Nothing else in any way compares to that kingdom of God being established in your life, coming into your life. Now, I tell you, you know, I didn't plan to say this, okay? But it just comes to my mind right now. Sometimes up north, usually every Sunday, I go out somewhere to speak. And if I'm driving down the road on a Sunday morning, early on a Sunday morning to get someplace, I go through some of these little towns. And you notice it yourself when you go home from here. And just about every little town has a church building there. I go through some of these little towns and I'd see a great big church there. And you wonder why, how there can be such a big church with such a small town. Sometimes two, maybe even sometimes three. And as I'm going through that town, I'll see one car maybe sitting by each church, and I know that it's the pastor that is there that is getting ready for church that morning. And I'm aware of how much that individual has sweated and cried as they have been in that church as a pastor. And when you look at the structure, you know how many people have sweated and sacrificed and cried to build that church. And the fundraisers that have gone on to build that church. And the mortgage that that church, that congregation is paying for that building. And you know, it has just made me angry. And I thought, if as the people of God, we would put as much perspiration into building the true body of Christ, how much better off we would be. The banks, some of them would be out of business because there wouldn't be that mortgage to pay. Some of them. And I have seen some of these churches, and you have too, that have been built on the strength of a person's personality. And they leave, and everybody leaves, and there's nothing left but a shell there. And that place sits there all week long. There's people in it on Sunday morning, once in a while on Sunday night, and sometimes on Wednesday night. And it sits there all week long, nothing going on. I don't believe that that is God's will. I don't believe it is His order for this hour. And I don't believe one of us should leave here today with the thought of going and building a big edifice somewhere and making a big name because we built a building. Now, I know we need a place to come to worship. You know, homes get too small. And so I'm not saying we shouldn't have a meeting place here, but hear what I'm saying. Where have we put our efforts? Where have we put our money? Where have we put all of our energy? Has it been into building a big church, or has it been into building the kingdom of God? You know, got another story. And I'll quit telling stories here in a minute. But up where I live, in Green Bay, in the Green Bay area, there have been all kinds of things that have happened. You think, well, your town is the only one. Well, I'll tell you, every town's essentially the same. But I'm aware of a pastor that was there for over 20 years pastoring a church, and did a good job. I mean, taught good, sound doctrine. Established people in God. And then the devil got in and stirred things up, and that man left and went to another place. And people from that church went out, and as a result of other things that happened, went in probably a half a dozen different directions. But most of them that I know haven't backslid. They've gone to other churches. They've gotten established in other churches. They have been good ministers as they were trained in these other churches. And I said to this pastor one day, because he still grieves over what happened there, I said, you know, were you building a denomination, or were you building the kingdom of God? Because if you were building the kingdom of God, as far as I can see, you did a wonderful job. Those people are still walking with God. They are testimonies and teaching the word in all of these places that they went to. All of these other places are being edified and built up because of the ministry that you did in this one place for 22 years. You know, I'd hope to make him feel good by saying that, but it was the truth. I wasn't flattering him. And where you are you building the kingdom of God? Or are you trying to make a name for yourself? I have to ask myself that. And I'll tell you, you can be independent and still have a denominational spirit. You can still have a Babylon spirit, even if you're independent. In fact, I feel like I've seen it more among independents than I have among those that claim the name of a denomination. So since we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us be thankful. This is the last one. And worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's look at that again. Since we're receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us be thankful and let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. What is the next step? What is this last step in our maintaining our deliverance and walking in a victorious walk with Jesus Christ? Is that we are thankful and we worship Him with reverence and awe. You know what the Scripture says about those that didn't go up to worship God during the Feast of Tabernacles, go up to Jerusalem? Scripture tells us that because they didn't do this thing, it said, even upon you I will pour no rain. It's essential that we have a heart of worship. Let's look at this. I think it's over in about Zechariah. Okay, thank you, Tommy. Last chapter of Zechariah, it says in verse 17, if any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. It is not an option for us to worship. It is absolutely a requirement. We remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, that God is going to have a people that will worship Him and in spirit and in truth. Now I want to go over these points one more time, so that you have them. In our Christian walk and in maintaining our victorious Christian walk, first of all, we embrace deliverance. We throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and we run with perseverance the race that is set before us. The next step is we fix our eyes upon Jesus. We look at Him and we let Him be our example in us. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, and we endure our cross, whatever it might be. And then we endure hardship as discipline from the Lord. The next one is we strengthen our feeble arms and our weak knees and make level paths for our feet. We do that by our embracing in our confession of the Word of God. His Word is a lamp to our feet, makes our pathway light. And then we make every effort to live at peace with all men. And then we also see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root spring up and defile many. And we don't refuse Him who speaks to us. And then we are thankful and we worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Now I want to say to us again this morning, if you are going to walk in Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer persecution, and you're going to experience rejection. It's just one of the rules of the road. You might as well plan on it. Every level of truth that you embrace is going to bring rejection to you. There's going to be people, you receive this truth about deliverance. In fact, I don't know how we can embrace some of the deeper truths without also embracing deliverance. It's putting the cart before the horse. How can we possibly be an overcomer without deliverance? I know that I believed in being an overcomer, but I also know that I needed a whole lot of deliverance. I had a whole lot of problems. And you have a lot of problems. And I'll tell you, you can be in the ministry, you still have some problems. You can put this facade up and act religious, and I'll tell you what, that's a demon. A religious spirit, a religious demon. Sometimes at camp meeting, you can stand up here, and if you're looking for it, you see it. After about 2 days of deliverance, pretty much it's all down, you know. Hopefully it is. And you just begin to see people as they are. All of us have at one time or another tried to mask it. But we all, every last one, need deliverance and ongoing deliverance. In fact, I can use an additional dose while I'm here this weekend. Forget about the rejection because you have been accepted by Him. You're accepted in the Beloved. He has received you. When we pray deliverance for somebody, I like to mention that verse, that so-and-so is accepted in the Beloved. And the Scripture tells us one other place it says about us submitting to God. Are we going to submit ourselves to God this morning? Can you lift your hands? Say, I submit to God. See, after it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the kind of rejection I ultimately want to experience in my life. I want to experience the devil fleeing from me. Amen? But we submit ourselves to God first. before we really experience the devil fleeing from us. So let's lift our hands this morning. In fact, I'd like us to stand and submit ourselves to Him and His Lordship. Whatever He's got for you as you leave, even while you're still here. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, just pray in the Spirit. Pray out loud. However you feel, you're submitting to His Lordship this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Basalabori bala karandalabaya. Shendalababa koraba karama. Lebalaba kolababa karama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it's all to You we surrender. All to You we freely give. We will ever love and trust You.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We surrender all to You this morning, Lord. We do. Rakama sharama randala baranda. Rebaba randala baba kushandala babaranda. Lebola bakarandala bakaranda. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah,
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like us to sing that song this morning. The chorus, I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. And I'd like you to be able to say that 100% today. 100%. Can you do that? You may leave here and go into some all kinds of difficult situations that you will have to face, but you can go it with a heart that is surrendered, knowing that He is working His peaceable fruits of righteousness in you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. You know, before we sing the chorus, I want to ask you something. I'm going to do something we haven't done here for a while. Maybe you need to make a fresh dedication of your life to God. And I'm going to ask you to do it the way we've done it for many years. I want you to come out in the aisle. I want you to walk down here and stand right here at the front as a sign and an indication before God and man that you're making a fresh dedication in your ministry and whatever your place is in life, that you're making a fresh dedication to His Lordship for your life. As we sing the chorus and sing the first verse again, let's do it. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Amen. I surrender all to thee. Render all to thee. I surrender all. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, we do. Lord, we, as your people stand here before you this morning, God, we give ourselves to you. God, cleanse us. Cleanse us by your Holy Spirit. Wash us, Lord, from all that offends. Set us free from all that offends. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just cry out to him this morning. We're calling out to him as a body this morning. Hallelujah. Koma salabaya celeboro. Kaba sala. Lobo karaba karanda lababa kasharu. Yesus mundo labaya. Labarra. Lababarika randa labaya. Seba labarra. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I feel there's somebody here this morning and you've tried to make a deal with God. You say, well, Lord, if you do this, then I'll do this. And I feel to tell you that this isn't a thing where we make deals with God. It's we surrender to Him. And so maybe there's several of you, but one in particular, I feel you've been saying this to God and God's wanting you to change your prayer and just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He, in fact, you've been looking for an additional confirmation to what He's called you to do. You don't need any more confirmations. God's told you what to do, and it's time for you just to go ahead and do it. All right? Let's just thank Him for that right now. Hallelujah. Many of us here like this. Many of you. Amen. You don't need any more confirmations. God has spoken to you. You know His voice already. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababa Kasharanda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kundala baba rakara. Lebo bora baba randala ba kosha. Lebo mandare bara baranda. Lobo la baba kaya teneman. Robo bakara. Lebo bakasen. Yesus karama. I don't feel to dismiss this meeting yet. I really don't. I feel there's some things that need to be settled with some of you. And so I just want us to stay here. Amen. And just call out to the Lord. There's some things that need to be settled in some of your hearts. Amen. You've sung it. Amen. Now you do it. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it one more time. I surrender. Oh. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory arandala babalaba kasharanda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you dismiss this morning? Hallelujah. Glory arandala babori barandala bakaranda. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oma sele balabara. Lobo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-b
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Tommy?
Yes.
There's some here that doesn't even know the Lord.
Amen.
They need to come. They're ready to come this morning.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is wooing and drawing this morning for some people to come forth right now and say, I desire for you to be my Lord this
mm-hmm.
morning, today.
Hallelujah.
And we need to get right with God.
Amen.
This
right.
Way.
True.
We played long enough. We have done the thing the world has demanded of us or called us to do, or what we thought the world wanted us to do, but not what God wanted. And it's
Hallelujah.
Time we got right before our God and came in.
Amen. That's your Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Anyone here this morning that needs Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come up here to the front. Those who do not know the Lord as Savior. Amen. Amen. Come up to the front here.
Those who desire to come before God and openly confess, you are my God.
Amen.
That I have faith in and I
Amen.
Want to be right with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He's given you opportunity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Just come right up. That's right, sister. Come right up.
Yes.
Praise God. That's all right. That's all right.
Praise God.
That's fine.
Amen.
That's fine.
What do I say?
Just whatever's on your mind.
I don't know that I've been faking it. I've been doing what I know to do, but I don't know the Lord, and I want to know the Lord.
That's what we're talking about. That's what God has called us to do.
Anybody else? Come right up.
Yeah,
amen. Come right up.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Come right up, sister.
Wait. Don't go yet, sister. Come stay here.
Come right up, sister. Come back up.
Come on, we're going to pray for you.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on up.
We're going to pray for you.
God is speaking to your heart.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
The Lord's going to work here now.
Amen.
Amen.
Obey the Holy Spirit.
You said you surrender.
Right.
We just got through singing, I surrender.
Right, right.
I surrender. Do you surrender? Do you, or were you just talking? Were you
That's right. That's right. Praise God.
Come on. I surrender.
Come on over. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Hallelujah, Lord.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We're not trying to drag you. We're giving you an opportunity.
Right.
God an opportunity to work in the land today.
Right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And you can go back to your home in the power and the presence of the true and the living God, the thing that you have missed, the thing that you have, why it never worked before, you tried to do these things, you tried to walk with the Lord, it all falls apart at the last minute.
Amen.
Why? Because we have not truly served under
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come in. And I surrender. I surrender unto you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Anyone else? Just obey the Holy Spirit. That's right. Come up, sister.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Several of the ministries come over with these people here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come right on up.
God.
Praise God.
Just pray for my brother.
Praise God.
Oh,
amen. Sister Coffee, where's Sister Coffee? Sister Coffee, come on up. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for him. Amen. Lay hands on him. Pray for him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch our sister today, Father. I just pray for her right now. Lord, I just ask the Holy Spirit to minister life to her right and strength to her, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we pray the power of the Holy Ghost.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.